Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy, unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey, everyone. Today, I'm joined with Ginger. She goes by Ginger Witch on TikTok. You know me. I found her there. Her stories are incredible because this woman can astral travel to pretty much anywhere, and she answers questions when people ask, hey, can you go here? Can you go there? So before I get in too much to it, Ginger, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
You are so exciting to me. And I was like, no, let's just talk about it on the recording. Let's not talk about it here. So when you talk about going to these different places, you talk about astral traveling. And I asked you before we started recording, is that the same as remote viewing? And you said, not really. And tell me what else that your guide said.
I asked my guides about the difference between remote viewing and astral travel because I happened to discover that I can do this naturally. I didn't have to learn how to do it.
Wow.
And I didn't know which one I was doing, and I didn't want to come off as a fraud or anything.
Yeah.
So they explained to me, my guides did, that remote viewing is when you can actually just progress your consciousness somewhere. And I can project just my mind somewhere.
Okay.
And see like a room or something. But astral travel is when you are basically like projecting your spirit somewhere.
Oh, okay.
So
that makes sense.
If I astral project to a planet, because I've been doing a series on planets,
yeah,
I will feel the ground underneath my feet. I will feel the atmosphere.
Oh, wow.
It becomes tactile, and I'll know that I'm there, and I'm aware of my body in the place. Whereas if I'm remote viewing, because sometimes they pull me back from astral projecting for a couple of different reasons,
oh,
but sometimes they'll pull me back so that it's just my mind there, so I'm just seeing things.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's probably more of a protective thing then, right?
Yeah. Or if I'm, because I'm also able to go back in time, sometimes I'll go someplace and there will be a guide there. Like when I went to the Library of Alexandria in Egypt. And, of course, you have to go back in time because it no longer exists.
Right.
So I went back in time and there were guides there that were showing me around. And my spirit guides pulled me back so that it was only remote viewing.
Okay.
Because they said even your actual presence there can change history.
You know, I love that you said that because that makes total sense. And they're protective of that time and this time. You know, it's funny when you guys go back, the people that could do what you can do, and I don't know very many people that can. Do you think that you look to them like you're a ghost?
Yes. And that has actually happened to me before. When I first started doing this, I would go places that I thought could use some energetic healing.
Yeah.
And so one of the places I went was New York City, and I was born in New York City, so I decided to go to the street where I used to live,
yeah,
when I was a child. And I was standing there next to a light post on the sidewalk, and a man walks by, and he saw me, and he jumped. It was like a jump scare. And I was like, oh, he thinks I'm a ghost.
Oh.
And then, I'm dead serious. So I have a theory that a lot of the ghosts we see are just people astral traveling.
You know, I think there are a lot of things, but I think they absolutely can be that, because I do think that sometimes there's just like time slips, and I think they're residuals, and I think, you know, it's just a recording and it's just Gettysburg-y. And then there's people like you, they literally are people that are just in a different time zone. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah, crazy. It was very eye-opening.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, I've got to the point when it comes to metaphysical paranormal stuff, almost anything is possible. I mean, because, you know, I'm just scratching the surface. I don't have all the answers at all. So the fact that I keep learning from people like you, because I ask you the same questions and a lot of times you come up with the same answers, but then you don't and you say this and I'm like, wow, okay, that's so cool. So the places that Ginger went to, what she does is she takes videos and she says, like, if you want me to go to a certain place, put it in the comments and I'll see if I can go. So these are some of the places she's gone, and I'm going to ask her some questions about these places. One is Skinwalker Ranch. One is the Catacombs in Paris. One is the Bermuda Triangle, Death Valley. I don't know if you've done the Appalachian Mountains. I would love to know if you did that. And then there's other planets. Tell me about Appalachia.
Appalachia was one where they pulled me back into a remote viewing because the energy was so intense.
I understand that. Oh, man.
But and also, it's such a huge area. It's such a huge mass.
Yeah.
So they pulled me back into remote viewing so that I could more read the energy of the place in its entirety.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, walking up a path and only getting a small snapshot.
Right.
What I found was that there are so many portals, interdimensional portals, that all the cryptids that people know are there, but can't prove it.
Yeah.
Or cryptids that people think don't exist because they've never experienced. These things come through these portals from other dimensions.
Okay.
And it's because the place is so ancient and mostly untouched, the forest area and the mountains. So these things come through these portals from other dimensions and they roam around and do their thing because they've always been here. We're the ones who are new.
Okay.
And then they go back through the interdimensional portals when they leave.
Yeah.
So we're not going to find any evidence of them.
Okay. Like Bigfoot or those kinds of things?
Yeah. Bigfoot's another story.
Oh. Okay.
That I'll tell you about if you want.
Yeah.
But what I found was if you go to Appalachia, you want to definitely follow the rules and respect the land and respect these creatures. Mm-hmm. And if you go looking to get scared, if you go looking for the experience to be scared and to encounter something, you are going to attract it and you're going to get what you want.
Oh, well, let me ask you, is it because it's so ancient and because of these portals, what started? I mean, I did a whole thing on Appalachia with one of my guests a couple years ago. And I looked up some of the things and this landmass, you're right. It's so old. It's older than a lot of the landmass in Europe. And that blew me away. I think two countries merged at the time. We're talking millions of years ago. So, but what is about Appalachia? What started the portals or do you even know any of that?
It feels to me very primal. Like there used to be more of that energy on the planet millions of years ago or even billions of years ago. And because this land is greatly untouched because of the mountains and the forest, it's retained that energy. And also the fact that people, and this might sound a little cliche or weird, but the fact that people keep believing in it is what perpetuates it.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally a believer in tulpas. You know, we kind of perpetuate it. And you talk about the top hat man, although said, we got one because everybody talked about him. Now he's a thing. Mm-hmm. Well, tell me what you know about Bigfoot.
Bigfoot, and I know that there are indigenous peoples that have lore about Bigfoot as well. They call him Big Brother, I think, up in the Pacific Northwest. Okay. But Bigfoot is a steward of the land.
Oh.
Bigfoot only appears to other peoples when somebody's being disrespectful to the land.
Oh, really?
He comes and protects the land, and he protects the people who take care of the land and take care of him.
Okay, so is it safe to say, Ginger, that he's interdimensional?
Yes, he is interdimensional.
Okay.
So he comes out and does his job as a steward of the land, and then he goes back home. And I think the other dimensions that these creatures come and go from, I put them all under the Fae umbrella.
Oh.
I think they're all part of the Fae realm.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but that's what it feels like to me.
Well, and you got to go by what you feel, and you've been doing this for I don't know how many years. How many years have you been doing this?
I've always been doing things like this, astral travel, remote viewing, magic. I've been doing things like this all my life.
Okay.
I wasn't aware that things like this weren't exactly normal.
Oh, yeah.
Until adulthood.
Yeah.
And so I've officially been doing it since like
2023. Wow. Now, is this a lineage thing? Do your parents, does your mom, grandmother, whoever, do they have that ability to?
Yeah, it does run in the family. I'm the first in my family to actually claim it and own it.
Mm.
My older sister is also a witch, and she's told me stories about things that she's done since she was a child as well.
Wow.
And we just never knew it about each other. Yeah. Because it's not something that we ever really talked about.
No, well, you sound like a crazy person, but now everybody talks about it, so it's okay now.
She told me, she said, I just decided one day that I'm not going to stop being weird. I'm just going to own my weirdness.
Absolutely.
And I was like, yeah, let's do it.
I don't think it's weird when you can tell somebody about the Paris Catacombs. So tell me about that.
Oh, the Paris Catacombs. Whoever came up with that place,
yeah.
I don't know what happened to them or who hurt them, but that place is awful. There's like 6 million souls down there.
Oh, no.
And I like to think that I released a lot of them.
Good.
I don't know how many exactly. And it was so funny because this happened right after, well, it actually happened the day that the so-called rapture was supposed to have happened.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And the reason I found it funny is because it was like having a rapture down there in the Paris Catacombs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I astral projected there, and the first thing I noticed was, you know, the dark tunnels and all of the burial remains and everything everywhere. And then the souls. Somebody of, I want to say like a Catholic priest or somebody like that, when they consecrated the land or the catacombs for it to be a burial place, they actually sealed all those souls down there.
Oh, no.
So that they couldn't, I don't know if they did it intentionally or if it was just part of the consecration process, but they sealed them all down there so that they couldn't move on. So when I got there, all of these souls kept coming at me, and it was almost like they were zombies.
Wow.
Because they had forgotten who they were.
Wow.
And all they saw was, all of a sudden, there was what I appeared to be as a spirit. There was this entity there that had life.
Yeah.
And it attracted them.
Yeah.
And so once I confirmed that I was protected and safe, I created a quick incantation to awaken their consciousness again so that they could remember who they were.
Mm-hmm.
And then I energetically broke the chains that bound them and released them.
Wow. Well, thank goodness you did that. How many do you think you saved?
It was so many. Oh. And like I said, it felt like a rapture. And I actually laughed while it was happening because I was like, oh, this is the rapture that everybody was talking
about. Now that's a rapture.
All of these souls are releasing at once. And it was incredible to watch them all just, oh, I remember who I am now. I can move on. And I, of course, asked for help, somebody come and get these souls so that they can move on.
Wow.
And so I have no idea how many I released, but it was a lot.
That's amazing, because I've heard psychics say, oh, nobody ever gets stuck. But I do think, this is what I think, and you can tell me what you think. I think sometimes, because it's an emotional situation, a sliver of your soul gets stuck somewhere. Maybe the higher person or the whole soul that embodies our bodies goes. But maybe the fact that there was some kind of trauma, that sticks around maybe, and that's trapped. Do you think that is what it is? Or do you think it's the whole person in that body that was, you know, once a person, do you think that whole body gets trapped?
I don't think it's the whole body. Okay. I think it's, like you said, a sliver of the consciousness.
Oh, okay.
Because we are ourselves interdimensional.
Yes.
And, you know, when somebody dies and they move on, like I had a reading yesterday with a client, and she asked me about somebody who had passed away a year ago. And first, I couldn't get a hold of this person for her, because I had the profound sense that they had moved on. And then I realized they didn't entirely move on.
Oh.
They were in another realm going through what I like to call soul rehab.
Okay.
Because their death was so traumatic.
Gotcha.
And so they're off working with their spirit team going through rehab, but they were still able to come back and communicate with me for her.
Gotcha. No,
so
that makes sense. Yeah.
When we move on, and sometimes we reincarnate, but our soul is still out there and can communicate with the old loved ones.
I agree. I think there's a higher self above that never leaves. Because I think some people are like, well, my dad, he didn't die and I died, but my dad saw me up there and he greeted me. And I'm like, that's because his oversoul, his higher self was there.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying that felt right to me. And all of the way this all happened.
No, that's exactly how I feel about it, too. And these souls down there in the catacombs, the reason I think souls get trapped in their graves, consecrated, you know, graves and stuff, is because the ritual that these priests or other religious people do to consecrate the land, bless the land, or to consign somebody to the earth.
Yeah.
It's essentially witchcraft.
Yes.
And so it's a binding ritual, and they're binding them to that soil.
Mm.
So part of them is stuck down there with their body.
Gotcha. Now, let me ask you this, because I think you and I are kind of on the same wavelength here. When we incarnate, you know, we kind of plan out our lives. And I don't think every single thing is planned out. Is something like that planned, or is that something that derails?
The reincarnation?
Well, just the fact that you maybe are stuck in catacombs. Maybe the universe wants your, maybe you said, I want to know what it's like to be stuck in a catacomb for hundreds of years, maybe, you know, 30 minutes on the other side, but hundreds of years here. Okay. Is that something that they would sign up to do just so the universal knowledge would have that knowledge?
Yeah, a lot of it is soul contracts.
Okay.
A lot of it is when we cross over to the other side and we go through the Akashic Records, or what I like to call the viewing room, and we're meeting with our spirit team.
Yeah.
We view our old lives and the one that we just left, and we start planning.
Yes.
Who in our soul family do we have a soul contract with, and what would we like to experience this time?
Right.
And it could be that these souls down in the catacombs had a soul contract to experience being released, or maybe they had a soul contract with me on some level so that I could release them.
See, that's
or it could just be that the opportunity presented itself at the time and it sucked because they've been down there forever.
Right.
But it could just be like, oh, well, let's just have this experience. Sometimes things suck.
Sometimes the things derail and you end up like someone else takes over and you have no control until like people like you go and say, hey, listen, remember who you are. You can go into the light now. It's safe. There's no more ritual here. And you even did, or no more incantation. You actually did didn't you say you did something for them, witchcrafty?
I did a spell to awaken their consciousness so that they could remember who they were.
Nice.
And I also did a spell to break the binds that keep them
nice.
There.
Nice. Oh, see, they needed you. They needed somebody with your skills.
It could be that that's why I was drawn there.
Exactly.
Release them.
Now, would you ever want to go back and help more, or do you think that was all you could do?
I could go back and see if there are more lingering. I'm sure there are.
Mm-hmm.
Because as far as I understand, the catacombs are pretty vast.
Okay.
Like, they go on forever.
Yeah.
So I could, you know, go down there and see if I can remote view to see who's left.
Yeah.
Because I was there in only, like, one little spot. So I don't know how many I released.
Yeah. And I don't know how long can you gauge how long in places? Like, I know you went to, where'd you go? You went to the Bermuda Triangle. Were you there a while? Were you there 20 minutes? I mean, how does that work?
It's always different. And somebody else asked me this once, and I told them sometimes I'll be aware of the time when I go into meditation and I project somewhere.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I get back from astral projection, it's like waking up in an unfamiliar place.
Right.
Oh, I'm in my living room. I'm not on the planet Jupiter.
Oh, yeah. Right?
And so when I wake up, sometimes I'll be like, oh, I was only gone 10 minutes. Or sometimes I'll, oh, that was like 2 hours.
Yeah. I mean, there's no time there. It's only here. Yeah.
It's always different.
Wow.
It's always different. I think it depends on energetically what I'm doing.
Well, tell me about Bermuda.
The Bermuda Triangle, I went twice.
Okay.
Because lots of times I will go someplace and I'll be unsure of the energy, so I'll wait and I'll go again the next day to make sure that my first energy reading was correct, or to see if there's anything that I missed.
Right.
And so I went a couple of times, and my guides kept me hovering above the water.
Oh.
And it's like they were holding me up because there was a magnetic pull the water.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, okay, I understand. You're keeping me from being sucked under.
Right.
This is great. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I got that the actual Bermuda Triangle let me channel its energy.
Mm.
And the information I got was that all the rumors of the ships going missing and the planes crashing and everything, no ship or person has ever actually gone missing at the Bermuda Triangle.
Okay.
However, it's such a magnetic disturbance in that area that, like, everybody's navigational equipment goes nuts.
Right.
Electric equipment, navigational equipment. So people get off course and they get lost.
Yes.
But they don't just disappear.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so that's how the rumors get started is, oh, I got lost in the Bermuda Triangle because my navigation equipment went crazy.
Exactly.
So they may go off course for a while.
Yeah.
But the triangle itself is not sucking people into another dimension.
Oh, it's, well, that's good to know.
It's a big magnetic portal. Mm. And it's a part of the Earth that it's kind of like a chakra.
Oh.
Like if the Earth had chakras.
Okay.
That would be a chakra for the Earth. And so the energy there is very strong and very magnetic. And
right.
It kind of just messes with normal communication.
Makes sense. Well, one time when I was listening to one of your videos, you were talking about Mars. And it surprised me what you said about Mars. So tell everybody, tell my listeners what you found on Mars.
Mars, first thing I notice when I go to a planet is how the soil feels under my feet, or how the surface, I should say,
okay,
feels under my feet. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I know I'm there, like I said before, is I could feel the dirt crunching under my feet.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, I'm actually here. This is not a remote viewing.
Okay.
I can feel the atmosphere.
Gotcha.
And the air was really, I guess it's the red planet, so it makes sense, because everything was kind of orange.
Yeah.
And it felt like if you swished your hand in front of your face, like the atmosphere would kind of show a trail. Your hand would leave a trail in the atmosphere.
Okay.
And I immediately felt that this planet once had life on it a long time ago, but not life as we would think, like aliens or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It had microbes, single cell organisms.
Okay.
And some of those are still there, but they're dormant very far under the surface.
Okay.
And I know that there are lots of billionaires right now that think that they want to go colonize Mars.
Right.
But we cannot do that. It's highly not recommended.
Okay.
Because first of all, the human body cannot exist for more than like a year or two,
okay,
a couple of years, I'd say, before like the skeletal system starts to break down.
Yeah.
We'll start getting autoimmune disorders. We have to have Earth's gravity because
okay,
we are part of the Earth.
That makes sense.
As humans. And so if we're away from it for too long, our bodies will start to break down.
Okay.
And also I got that if they do colonize Mars, whatever habitat that they set up, there will be too many technical difficulties and there will be catastrophes where lots of people die.
Oh.
Because of atmospheric conditions.
Gotcha. Wow.
And if they start mining the planet, digging to build habitats or for minerals or whatever,
yeah,
they're going to awaken whatever microbes or bacteria or any, or some kind of element down there that will be catastrophic to the human existence.
Yeah, that surprised me.
I got that huge message. Stay away from Mars. Do not come here.
Yeah. Well, you kind of got that message, not necessarily from all the planets, but none of them are meant for us. We're supposed to be here, right?
Correct. We are part of Mother Earth. We are meant to be here.
Right. Now, let me ask you this, though, Ginger. What do you think about aliens? I mean, I obviously, they're around. They're around us all the time. They've been here for millions of years. But what do you think about them? Do you think they're going to come anytime soon? Do you think there's going to be a big disclosure? What do you think?
I actually, yesterday, did a video on 3i Atlas.
Oh, yes. I saw that. Yes.
Yeah, I visited 3i Atlas weeks ago, but I was reluctant to do a video because it really felt like some of the information that they had given me could be used to create harm by some people.
Oh. Let me tell my listeners, 3i Atlas is a comet, or they're calling it a comet, that is humongous, that looks like a rock. It's a kind of a long, slivery kind of rock thing that's probably the size of maybe Manhattan. It's big. But it's not acting like a comet. It's doing weird things. And I'm not saying anything. I have no idea. You have more information on it than I do. But people are thinking, oh, it's an alien ship. I don't know what it is. So, Ginger, what do you think?
It's a ship that has consciousness on it.
Okay.
So when I first projected there, the ship itself does kind of look like an asteroid.
Yes.
Or a comet.
Yeah.
And that is by design, because it makes it easier for them to cloak and to travel more freely.
Okay.
And when I actually projected into the ship, it feels as though it's empty because the beings on this ship are non-corporeal.
Okay.
Because they have advanced far enough along that their vibrations are high enough that we cannot conceive of them in physical body.
Gotcha.
And that is the same course that we're on evolutionary-wise.
Okay.
Eventually, we won't need our physical bodies anymore. And when you hear New Age people and practitioners refer to your light body, that's what that is.
Okay.
It's an energetic body.
Yeah.
So moving on.
Yeah.
And so I was able to speak to one entity, and he allowed me to see him as a corporeal being, but it was like talking to a ghost because, you know, see-through and everything.
Oh, wow.
Kind of staticky.
Yeah.
But he gave me a lot of information about why they're coming. He Ooh. Said that they are traveling to us because they're observing us. They've been here before mm-hmm. a long time ago. It felt like somewhere between 10 to 20,000 years ago.
Okay.
And they did not build like pyramids or anything like that,
oh.
but their energy and their interactions with us did affect and inspire our technology that allowed us to do things
that
like build pyramids
yeah,
and ancient
sense.
Technology.
Yeah.
That's why these ancient civilizations seemed far more advanced
okay.
than we would assume that they were
right.
because they had this influence. And so he said, we're traveling to observe you, and it's like watching a light show or fireworks.
Mm.
We're sitting back and looking at the energy that your race is creating, and it seems like a hellhole to you right now
yeah.
because your planet is going through so much turmoil, but it's like ripping a Band-Aid off.
Mm.
The energy underneath what is happening
mm-hmm.
is what the goal is, and you will make it through. Everything will be okay, but we're just here to observe
yeah.
and make sure that you are ready eventually for contact.
Okay.
We will not make contact until you're energetically ready,
yeah.
and you cannot force contact, because when we get close enough, we will cloak and you will not know we are here.
Okay, that's because incredible.
Right now, our governments are not ready.
Yeah. I don't know if they're ever going to be ready, because they may lose money on this because they're so wanting to control everything we do now. And then religion has a lot to do with it, too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Because, you know, once aliens come, religion is kind of out the window in a lot of ways.
Yes. And some other information that he gave me about our bodies and how we operate energetically
yeah.
and how we're connected to the planet and each other.
Yeah.
All that information, once we awaken to it as a people, it will change religion as we know it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how it couldn't. And that's the thing. I mean, when they come, now I know that people think, oh, the Anunnaki, they were here first. And there's hieroglyphics on that in Egypt about the Anunnaki. I don't know if that's something, like, did they show themselves then?
Back thousands of years ago, did the yeah. Anunnaki show themselves?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the Egyptian gods were Anunnaki.
Oh, okay. Well, see, that makes sense. Okay.
It's almost like Stargate, an episode of Stargate.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
These ancient beings came and they looked different and they could do things that were different, and people saw them as gods.
Okay.
And I believe, because when I remote viewed the Library of Alexandria and I did Atlantis at one point,
yes.
and so it felt like after Atlantis destroyed itself, the survivors, a lot of the survivors went and populated Egypt.
Yes.
Because the energy felt the same,
mm.
a lot of the same technology. And somebody else said that they got the same thing and kind of confirmed that for me. But the Anunnaki would come in and just influence the technology that mm. the Egyptians had. And that also they carried over from Atlantis.
Right. No, I've heard many psychics say that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We saw them as gods.
Yes. So let me ask you this. Why did Atlantis fall? I know they were getting way too technically advanced, but what happened?
They destroyed themselves with their arrogance.
Oh.
Their science, I don't want to say was more advanced than ours, mm-hmm. but it was much different.
Yeah.
A lot of their science was through crystals.
Yes.
Like everything was crystals.
Mm.
They had tapped into the energy of like quartz. A lot of it was quartz,
mm-hmm.
but that's not the only crystal.
Yeah.
So they were able to power cities with crystals and perform surgery and all kinds of things. But they had gotten so scientifically and technologically advanced, they were obsessed with advancing their own science. Mm. And they completely forgot about them as human souls.
Right. Because they were humans, right?
They were humans. They were humans. I want to say it could be that you could qualify them as a different species of human, but they were definitely human. But they had forgotten their empathy. They had no empathy. Mm. And it was like this country of people with no empathy. And they started doing experiments on creatures and animals and people that were just horrifying, horrific. Mm. The energy was very dark. The energy was like you could make a horror movie out of it.
Wow.
The things that they were doing to creatures and people and animals.
Wow.
And so that energy just kind of bubbled up and it had to end. So they annihilated themselves. The place just, I don't know how it annihilated. I'm seeing a lot of collapse. I'm seeing explosions.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was nuclear. I don't know. But I was told that we will find semblance of evidence of this place at some point.
Okay.
There's no actually like sunken city in the ocean or anything like that.
Okay, because I was wondering, because as far as I thought it was always underwater, no?
A lot of it's underwater now because of the way it was destroyed.
Okay.
But they're not going to find like a lost hidden city under some underwater somewhere.
Right. But like when it was their time.
They were trying to find stuff after an explosion.
Exactly. But in their time, they were like above water. They were a country, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
But you know, if that's tens of thousands of years ago, did they know about like Neanderthals and all that? You know, because that's what, how did that work?
I do not know.
Yeah.
And part of me thinks that possibly Atlantis was, it feels like, I want to say interdimensional, but not that deep.
Okay.
It's kind of like, I have no idea how long ago it was.
Yeah.
Zero clue. So I don't know if Neanderthals were on the planet at the time. I don't know if some other species of human was on the planet at that time. But they looked like modern humans, but with few differences because they were other.
Yeah.
It was like a parallel species of human.
Wow.
Okay. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. And guys, this is the kind of stuff you're going to hear her talk about on her videos. She's amazing. So you said you did readings for people. Tell me what you do for them.
Sometimes people just want a general reading to see if I can pick up on any energy, or sometimes people want to explore anything that they may need to be aware of. They want to build a spiritual practice, or they're looking for like a spiritual tune-up. Lots of people want to know about their love life.
Yeah. Right.
And can you blame them?
No.
So I will get on the phone with somebody and tune into their energy, and their spirit guides speak to me. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's their own energy that speaks to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just pick up on their energy.
Yeah.
And sometimes the information I get is so obscure that I have to talk through it with them.
Right.
Because I'm like, does this even make sense to you? Does this ring true at all?
Right.
And so sometimes I don't even know what's coming out of my own mouth.
Oh, well, yeah. I think that a lot of psychic mediums feel that way. And so can you like look at someone's future and say, this is what I feel that's going to happen for you if you take this tack, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I hesitate to try to predict the future for people. They want to know where they're going to be in a year, stuff like that.
Right.
And I'm like, that is so subjective.
It is.
Trust anyone who tells you what your future holds.
Yes.
Because it is so subjective. And I'm like, this is what it feels like will happen if you stick to the same trajectory you're on right now.
Yeah.
But you could make a different decision tomorrow that changes the whole thing.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, free will.
Take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah. Well, Ginger, you have been fantastic. I'm going to have you back on because I want to talk more about where you go and some of the things you see on other planets or whatever else we can all talk about, because you are fascinating. And I just resonate with you. Everything you say is just so fascinating. And oh, by the way, guys, now before I let her go, I'm going to add all of her information to my show notes. Ginger, do you have a website that people can use to book with you?
Yes, it's Red Apple Magic. Magic spelled with a CK at the end. So R-E-D APPLEMAGICK .net.
Gotcha. Okay. And that way, if somebody wants to book with you, Ginger, they can just tap on the actual podcast itself and go straight to your website, because you're amazing. And I so appreciate you being on the podcast.
Well, thank you. I just really enjoyed this. You're awesome.
Well, I love providing because I want to know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist, and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again, and I will see you next week.